Hi. My name's Carrie, and I'm going to talk a little bit about children and stress. Children and stress. I'm going to talk about stress in general, because we as parents experience stress that are not necessarily child-related. Our stress can affect our children. Okay, children on their own by themselves have stress, too, that sometimes comes from us and sometimes comes from their lives. I find that interesting. My 15-year-old grandson came home and said, you know, I'm stressed out. I need to be able to just chill out when I get home. And I'm thinking, at 15, what are you stressed out about? What are you stressed out about at 15? You're not working yet. You don't have any bills yet. I'm coming from my perspective. Do you hear that? The life of a child is from a different perspective. They have things that they're stressed out about, too. Like, what do your kids get stressed out about? Homework, grades, friends, making new friends, being able to play ball, being able to participate in sports, how the other kids at the school or the daycare like them, right? I mean, this is their world, okay? And so, yeah, they get stressed out too. For all of us, stress is. We need stress, actually. We need stress in our life. If we don't have enough stress, we don't tend to do very well. We're not very motivated. We tend to get depressed when we don't have enough demand or motivation to do things. So there are two kinds of stress that I talk about. There's positive stress, which is that motivating stress. That's the stuff you look forward to in life. When you get a new job, when you're expecting a new baby. You know, even when kids are going somewhere new, they have the butterflies and they're excited about where they're going, and yet they're kind of scared. They'll tell you they're scared at the same time because it's an unknown. I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know if I'm going to fit in. I don't know if I'm going to like it. And yet we're excited at the same time. Kids experience that. We do too. We just don't always talk about it like that. So the positive things, the things that we look forward to and want to have happen in our life, are that positive kinds of stress. Now, what do I hear from most people that I deal with? The negative side of the stress, which is the stuff that they don't like going on so much in their life. Okay, my grandson called me today. He was complaining his tummy hurt. My stomach's hurting, and I don't know what that's about. And I'm a nurse practitioner, so I went through the checklist for, you know, what, okay, tell me about how it hurts and where it hurts and what's going on, and are you doing this, and this? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay. Well, you know, I come to find out he started a new summer class, and I think he's a little bit stressed about what he's got coming for the summer. Okay. So stress is either good or bad. Are we stressed out in this country? Yes, we are. I don't mean any of you that I wouldn't tell you are not stressed. Okay? We in the United States, painkillers over the counter are the leading things that we sell. We should all invest in the Tylenol company. And we should all invest in the maker of ibuprofen, because those are the kinds of things that we're buying. We buy lots and lots. Those are the number one sales in over-the-counter medicines, are things for pain. We have roughly 30 million people who are alcohol dependent. These are adults. 30 million people in our society alcohol dependent. Okay, they estimate 500,000 kids, 9 to 12, are alcohol dependent. Those are young kids. So they're stressing and they're coping in ways that aren't good. We have about 1 million teenagers, they estimate, that overuse and are dependent on alcohol. Those are 13 to 18 million. It's a lot of kids that have learned unhealthy habits with alcohol. And then we're not talking about the other drugs. 1 in 4 people in our society have high blood pressure, and we're seeing that at younger and younger ages. I have a 22-year-old female in my practice who I'm having to actually put on blood pressure medication, 22. Blood pressure when I was growing up was kind of one of those things that happened when you got to be old, which when I was 5 was like 50. As I'm getting older, that doesn't seem like such an old age anymore. I'm like at the 90 mark now. That's old. 90, 100, that's old. Not 50 anymore. Yeah. But I'm seeing younger and younger people. I'm seeing 30 and 40 year olds that are taking blood pressure medications and starting to take things for their cholesterol and having to take stuff that we used to see in the 60s and 70 years of age. Number one killer of people in our country is still heart disease. So we're still seeing heart attacks. We're still seeing strokes. Cancer hasn't overtaken it yet. It's still heart disease from high blood pressure and those kinds of stuff. Almost half of all medical bills whether you go in to see your doctor or you're going to the urgent care or you end up in the ER, are from the effects the body has from the stress that the person is living with. Half. So we're spending lots of money on medicine, on seeing providers to help us with the effects of the stress in our life. Okay, so let's talk about what stress looks like. How do we show people that we're stressed? You know, we look like a little ball of stress. We put it all together and we can look fairly stressed out to other people. But when we start to break it apart, we're going to look at it in three different ways. So we have emotional signs that we're stressed, we have behavioral signs that we're stressed, and we have physical signs that we're stressed, don't we? Okay, behavioral, let's start with the emotional. Emotional signs of stress are what?
Anger, depression, heart racing.
Okay, yep, anger. I can be more irritable, right? I can be I can frustrate more easily. We see those in ourselves, don't we? I can get depressed if I have enough stress, emotional, for long enough. That doesn't tend to be the first thing that we start with. That tends to be one that comes on later, okay? How do children emotionally show that they're stressed?
Crying,
tantrums, mm-hmm. Yelling and screaming, right? They tend to not mind, okay? They pout. They are showing their emotional stress, and we're talking more about what we can see as parents, as their behavior, as their emotional signs of stress, because especially little kids, they don't know those words yet, do they? So they can't tell you that they're angry because they may not really have connected that feeling with a word of any kind yet. And so we're depending upon our eyes and the behavior and how we've connected that kind of look and behavior to an emotion in our life. And we are teaching our children what these emotions are. They feel it, and then we helped connect them in the language with the feeling that they're having. What is it that you're feeling? I feel sad. I feel happy. We start with the simple ones, don't we? I feel mad. We use that one. Okay, and so we're teaching them those words. Behaviorally now, I'll tell you adult signs of behavioral stress for us as adults and parents is going to look different than for our kids, especially if they're smaller, because of what we have access to. So when we behaviorally show we're stressed, you know, if you smoke cigarettes, you're probably smoking more. Hopefully our children aren't smoking. Little ones don't. So they're not going to have that one. If we're drinking, we may be drinking more. A lot of people have attached having a beer or having a drink with calming down and being less stressed as an adult. Okay. And I just mentioned the numbers for the 9 to 12 at 500,000 that are linking alcohol to being less stressed, and 1 million teenagers. So we're seeing that in our kids, but not at the level we're seeing it in adults. Okay. Isolating. When we isolate and we're stressed, we quit doing the very things that would help us. And so we quit spending time with friends. Oh, you know what? I'm so tired. We're not going to have a play date. We're not going to come over there and do that because, you know, I'm just tired. I need to just go veg a little bit. Meanwhile, that's our social support, isn't it? Yeah. We quit going to the gym. We quit going to the park and walking around the park in the evening. We quit going and playing with the kids in the park. We quit going to the gym and exercising. We quit doing the things that would actually help us to feel better. Why? Because we feel tired, because I don't want to bother anybody, because, you know, I emotionally don't feel so good about what's going on. And so we stop doing the very things that would help. We isolate and pull in instead of looking at our support and saying, you know, how can you help me through what's going on? Do our kids isolate?
Yeah.
They have a bad experience at school. Lots of times they want to be avoidant and they don't even want to be around that person, right? I don't like that kid. I don't want to go to that class. I hate that school. And they try to not to, okay? They wake up in the morning and, oh, I have a stomach. I'm sick. I can't go. I have a stomach ache. I didn't sleep good. They got all kinds of reasons why they can't go when they're trying to isolate themselves. And we as parents have to be aware of that. Okay, here's another one that's probably linked to us, and that's spending. As we have money and we may have credit cards, and so sometimes we will spend money to feel better. I'll spend money on my children to feel better. Do my kids spend money to feel better? No, my kids may ask for more to feel better, right? But they may not have the money to actually go and spend if they're small teenagers, they might. Okay. Here's one that probably affects both of us. We tend to do a little less self-care. This doesn't necessarily start at first, but if we're stressed over time and maybe having some of those depressive symptoms, we forget to do things, okay? Or we just don't think it's as important or nobody will notice, okay? And so when I'm talking about hygiene, you know, you may forget to brush your teeth in the morning. Or go, you know, I'm just running on time. It'll be okay. I'll put some gum in my mouth. Do kids do that? Absolutely. My 11-year-old, any chance to not brush her teeth and she's there. Okay. You know, I may not do my laundry quite as on schedule as I should, and so I'm hunting in the back of a closet for the stuff I don't usually wear because I didn't do my laundry. What do kids do? They may not have laundry because I didn't do their laundry right. They may not want to take a bath. They don't want to comb their hair. They don't want to go get their hair cut. My grandson is 80, hates having his hair cut. It is a chore to get him to go to sit in the chair and get his hair cut. He absolutely hates it. And yet, he doesn't want to wet it down in the morning either. Oh, it'll be, no. You have to go in. You have to get yourself ready. We have to take care of that. Performance goes down. We see that. How do we see it?
When our paycheck.
I might see it reflected in my paycheck if I'm not going to work. My boss may notice that I may be making more mistakes, that maybe I'm coming in later, that you know, I'm giving out maybe not as accurate information. It depends what I do for a living. Do we see performance go down in children that are stressed?
Yeah.
Yes, we see regression in children sometimes. When they're little and they've been potty trained and they get stressed out, guess what happens? Now they're having problems with going to the potty and they're having more and more accidents, okay? And school-agers, they're having trouble learning and concentrating, and so they used to know their addition or they used to know this skill and now they're having trouble with it because they're having difficulty maybe concentrating. Okay? And so kids tend to kind of go backwards. We'll see them where they're not doing as much as they should, or they're having trouble learning what they should be learning at this moment because they're stressed. So we see their performance go down. Grades drop if they actually grade. Okay. Sometimes the S's don't slip for a couple little bits because it takes a little longer for them to recognize that maybe not. And then what does the body do? Physically, the body responds to stress too. When we get stressed, okay, and again, most of it we're going to see when it's more negative, the body is putting out a little bit more adrenaline. You know what adrenaline is? That's your fight and flight. When you get cut off in traffic, it kicks in, your heart rate speeds up, and your blood pressure goes up, and you sweat a little bit more, and you get all ramped up because you're ready to fight or run away from some kind of a threat to yourself. Well, we don't live like that with stress, but the body responds a little bit like that. And so your pulse goes up just a little bit, and your breathing goes up just a little bit, and your blood pressure goes up just a little bit, which means the entire system is working just a little bit harder than it is when it's not stressed. Okay? We get oily skin. Oily skin when we're stressed. It's the body's way, again, one of those few protective things we have left. We tend to get tight muscles. A lot of us are holders-inners. Okay? Holders-inners, yeah. Hands and feet get cold. In my medical practice, when I go meet people, I usually will walk into the room and go, "Hey, I'm Carrie." And you are, and they'll tell me their first name. And this tells me a lot right here. She's got a nice, warm, dry hand, so she's doing pretty good. Sometimes I stick my hand out and it's cold, clammy, sweaty. You know, I get done shaking my hand and I want to go. I don't do that, but I'm like, ooh, I bet this person's stressed. Maybe they're really not here about what they told us they were coming in for. I bet there's other stuff going on. Because the body is going to pull the warmth and pull the energy into its core, which is right here. It's going to pull all of the resources into the center, into the brain. So it doesn't need it out here. Do kids manifest with these? Yeah. They smell more. They're oily, dirt sticks to them better, I think. I don't know. Okay. They don't usually complain of rapid heart rate. We're not going to necessarily notice high blood pressures in children, but they might complain more of, you know, my arm hurts, my leg hurts, my tummy hurts, I have a headache. Headaches are hard in children. We understand what headaches are. I'll get little kids coming and telling me they got a headache. It's like pulling teeth to figure out what are they talking about that their head hurts. Because they don't have the vocabulary that we do. And so sometimes they'll point, you know, and we kind of work our way through it. Okay? Stress-related health issues, here's the stuff I told you about we're going to see doctors for. I have heartburn, I have indigestion, I have reflux, I have an ulcer. Okay, that's too much stomach acid because I'm stressed. Maybe I'm not eating or not eating the right food. My body is just pumping a lot of that out there. Okay, high blood pressure, we already talked about. Headaches, I got two kinds up there. Muscle aches, a lot of us carry it right here. Adults will carry it in their shoulders and their upper back. So they'll come in and they'll complain that their shoulder blade is hurting or they're having back pain or whatever, and you're stressed. And you're just sucking it up, holding it right there. Okay. Insomnia, that one shouldn't surprise you. Insomnia, absolutely. I'm not sleeping because I'm emotionally spending all my time thinking about what's going on in my life but not fixing it. That's emotional stress. Asthma. Asthma has been linked to stress. Okay. Some people will say they're having anxiety. It can be a combination. They're feeling nervous, their heart rate's going up, their respirations are going up, and then they have a history of asthma and it kicks in their asthma and now they're wheezing and they really do feel like they're not getting a good breath because their stress is setting in and physically affecting them. Weight problems, that one shouldn't surprise you either. There's two kinds of weight problems there. There's the weight problem of gaining weight when you eat for comfort, and there's the weight problem of losing weight when you lose your appetite because you're stressed. Okay, so it can go either direction. Heart attacks happen. We're seeing those at younger and younger ages, and that's that blood pressure that goes up. Usually that's with crisis or anxiety and kind of severe stuff. Okay. This is my definition of stress. The very top one on your sheet. The demands that we have, plus the interpretation, what we think about the stress, plus what we do about it, is our total stress. Demands plus interpretation plus response is stress. I put that response in there. I used to just have demands plus interpretation is stress. And sometimes the things that we do about what's going on and how we think about them is not a good choice. And so we have more on our plate, more we have to deal with in our life because of a choice that I made about how to deal with this thing over here. Okay, demands are pressure to change. Demands are pressure to change, and that can come from anywhere. That can come from outside. It can come from externally out here. You know, you have neighbors and they probably would like for you to be quiet after about 10 o'clock at night so they can sleep. That's a demand, isn't it? You like to be up all night playing your drums. I've moved in, now I have to stop playing my drums at 2 in the morning because it bothers the neighbors. That's a change, isn't it? You have children, that's a demand to change. I'm not sure you thought about it that way, but we have to make lots of modifications for children, don't we? When our kids come, when we're going to visit them or they come back home, again, it's a demand to change because now the family has rules and we have to figure out how we're going to do this and how we're going to get along and how we're going to have this working here, and that's a demand. It's a stressor. See, those words I use interchangeably. A demand is a stressor, okay? So there's something that wants me to change, okay? Changes in relationship. You and I didn't work out, and so we're going to part ways. That is a demand, because I have to figure out how to not have you in my life. You and I not in a relationship, but we have two children to raise. That's a demand, because now we have a different dynamic in how we're going to raise our children as parents, not being in a relationship together anymore.
Co-parenting.
Mm-hmm. Co-parenting is the term for that, absolutely. Changing jobs is a demand, right? Changing schools is a demand. Having children move in and out of the family are a demand. My son, my oldest son just turned 18. So he is got a little bit more school to do, but he's thinking about, you know, I can now leave and go get my own place. And I'm like, oh, you're right.
He was you like, can, every time.
Oh. You can now go get your own place, and I have mixed feelings because I'm like, yes, he's 18 now, he can move out, and you know, he can launch and he can take care of himself, and yet in this the next breath I'm like, but he's 18 and that's my baby, and I remember him when he was this big, and I remember when he was this big, and I remember, and it really can't be time for him to do that. I'm not sure he's ready. So there's that mixed silences. So the demands, the negative stressors we were talking about, you know, and these can be problems with relationships, money problems. Most of us would like to have a little more than we actually have. Just part of life. Health difficulties come in there. there's a lot of unknown, unanticipated things. For example, you know, I never have planned to go out on my flat tire day. I have never planned, you know, I think on Tuesday, I'll just know I'm going to have a flat tire and get ready for it. When I've had a flat tire, I like go out to go to work and the tire is flat. What? Are you kidding me? And of course, I didn't prepare an hour early either. I'm like walking out needing to get in the car, back out the driveway and go to work, and the tire's flat. I'm not going anywhere for a little bit. I never am prepared for sick children either. I would love for my children to schedule that. Mom, on the 8th of October, plan a sick day because I feel it coming. But that doesn't happen that way either. You know, you get up in the morning and, you know, they had a little runny nose the night before and you heard them coughing a little bit at night and you get up and you touch them, you do the mom temperature. Oh, they're hot. Oh, they're sick. I never planned for that either. And so my whole life has to change that day because I didn't plan for a sick kid. But that's some of that unexpected stuff that happens to all of us. And that's a demand being made on us to change in that moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. It's important what we do with that demand. How am I going to react to it? And when we deal with our children, we always have to be aware of whether I'm going to react or respond. Reacting, lots of times is doing the first thing that comes to my mind to say or do, which for most of us is not the best thing to do. We should really step back, take a breath, think about what I'm going to do about this. So for my flat tire, I look at my card, stamp my foot on the ground and say, okay, I got to get the jack out. And I wonder where you crank it up at. And I have a little kit in my car, so I have the stuff, but wasn't prepared for that. Okay, so what am I going to do? The second piece of this, call my cell phone, yeah. I have AAA. They'll be right over by noon.
Yeah.
They're timely, but not like right there. Uber's faster. The next part of this one, demand, what we're being pressured to or asked to change in our life, what do I think about it is the second part. What is my interpretation of the demand that's being made on me to change? Do I think that it's a good thing? Is it something that I'm looking forward to? Or is it something that I'm not looking forward to that I would prefer not to have happening to me that I think sucks? The way that we frame these things greatly affects how stressed we feel about the stuff going on. Greatly affects how we feel about it. Okay, so when we look at the positive interpretations, I don't want to do these. Okay, if we had something like, I didn't give you guys the test, but I have a test, and I'll tell you, in my life, when we were adding a member to the family, when we got pregnant, it was a happy time for us. It was planned. We were wanting to have another child. And I was always like, oh, this is so cool. We can get ready. You hear the happy? That's a positive interpretation, isn't it? And so in my world, I was always thinking that way. And then I talked to somebody one day, and they said, oh, pregnant. I've only been with him 6 months. I'm not even sure this is going to work, and now we're expecting a baby. That's a completely different interpretation of the same demand, isn't it? Yeah. So I've had to think about that. Gosh, I really do have to pay attention to how I'm feeling about the interpretation. When I'm working with people, how are they feeling about what's going on in their lives? Okay. The good news is, you know, we can change our perception. We can change how we think about things. Okay. And so you guys are doing that. You may not necessarily like being here. But you come and we talk about things we need to know in terms of parenting and launching our children over time. And you put in your time every week and you do your sheets and you go, gosh, I'm learning something. And at the end, you'll have your certificate and you'll be able to actually look at somebody and say, you know what I learned over there? This is what I learned and this is what I'm going to do different. And you know, now that I look back on it, I'm glad that I did that because I'll be a better parent for this. It's a reframing. It's a change in the way I'm thinking about the things that I have to do. Okay, so we can take something that we may perceive as negative, we may think of as a negative kind of an interpretation and say, so what can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? I got to do it anyway. What can I learn? What should I be doing? How can this be of some value to me, in this case, as a parent? Right? On to that response. that third thing in there. Demands are what happens, what I think about them, and then finally, what am I doing? And we have choices about what we do here. We can either cope or we can adapt. Now I tell you, we throw the word coping around in our society like it's a good thing. And you know me, I define everything because I want you to know what I'm talking about. And I will tell you, I do not think coping is a good thing for most of us because we tend to get stuck. We tend to be doing things that are not going to overall help the situation. Okay, so here's my definition of coping. Coping is when we invest in tolerance, acceptance, and abstinence. And our stress level overall remains the same. Coping, acceptance, and/or abstinence. So, when we cope, we're really working to not change. We're working to not change. How can I stay right where I am? How can I stay right where I am and hope that this gets better? I think some of us do that. Okay. So some of the destructive stress management or coping that we see are substance use. Any drug that we are having a demand on us and we're having emotional pain and we drink or we smoke or we take sleeping pills or we're using pain pills or that kind of a thing is destructive. Okay, it's not helping the problem at all. I'm spending money on my drug of choice. I'm living in an altered state, which puts me in a place where I really can't work on things because I'm not in my right mind. Okay. Overeating, that doesn't help us either, does it? I feel temporarily comfortable, okay, and when I'm 10 pounds heavier, now my clothes don't fit. Now I feel more fatigued. You know, heavy people have a level of fatigue from the weight that they carry around. It stresses the body out. Okay? Fighting with others. I'm more irritable, I frustrate more easily, and so I cope by picking on you. I'm going to start pointing out what you're not doing right, how you're not supporting me in the ways. We're having more arguments, we're having more disagreements, we're having more, you know, times when we're not talking to each other. That emotionally plays on me too, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm spending energy, having more anger, more intensity going on with the situation or a person in my life. Okay. Spending, talked about that. Isolating, it doesn't help. Some of us get obsessive. We try to control some small area of our life where we really think we can control that. And so my obsessive compulsives will set into cleaning. They have sparkly clean, whatever they're cleaning. Okay, but outside of that, things are still a mess. They haven't filed paperwork, they haven't made that phone call, they haven't gone over there to do that, they haven't addressed that yet. They, you know, they have this one little spot that's glowing and perfect, but the rest of life is not. Okay, and that they are focusing on something that's not helping. Adapting, which is the other option, is about change. So adapting is a modification in the way that I think, act, and behave so that I have a permanent reduction in my stress. Permanent reduction in my stress. So adapting requires that I be about problem solving. What's the problem that I need to be taking care of? What do I need to be doing to resolve this problem so that it's not a problem for me anymore? How am I going to take care of that? How am I going to take care of that? Okay. One thing to be aware of with that adapting is to know that it's your problem that you either need to be fixing or that it's one that you need to be working on and it's not somebody else's problem. Okay, so if I go back to the example of coming to class, that's a problem that's yours to work on. Okay, it takes time though. You can't do it all at once. Okay, when I need to go get a job, that's my problem, right? I actually have to go get online, do the job search, get my resume together, put it out there, go do the online interview or the Skype interview, or actually, you might actually get to go talk to somebody. I still do that some of those places, but that would be my job to solve. Okay? My problem not to solve, is how you spend your money. It's not my money, it's your money. I don't like how you spend it. And if I try to solve your problem, I'm going to have more conflict with you, aren't I? Yeah, because I'm working on a problem that I shouldn't be working on. It's not mine to fix. It's not mine to be a part of in my example that I'm giving you. Okay, so you have to be aware of, is it my problem? Is this a problem I need to be working on? Do I need to be working on it with somebody? Or am I working on somebody else's life? If I'm working on somebody else's life, I need to stop working on somebody else's life. Okay. So when we look at managing stress, I'm